Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, there's a student in Madison, Wisconsin, who got a zero because he was asked by his art teacher to draw a landscape. He drew a landscape, and then he put a cross on it and a Bible verse reference, John 3:16. He got a zero. So he's suing the school district, and I'm glad that Christians are not taking this stuff lying down any longer. Then we have, I am so angry at the scientists and those who defend them who are creating human-animal embryos, hybrid. They're taking human cells and mixing them with animal cells and creating embryos, living embryos. And what that means, you see, when a sperm and an egg come together, they form a living human being. And to play God and take human cells and merge them with animal cells is so infuriating. I can't hardly contain my anger at just trying to imagine what may become of some humans in the future through cloning and hybrid human animal embryos. It's just despicable. On lighter news, Colorado Right to Life's fundraising dinner for the Personhood Amendment in Colorado is sold out for Friday night. Now, I don't know that they turned down anybody else. The room holds 100 people, and we have 104 signed up at $100 a plate. And perhaps some of the officers, board members of Colorado Right to Life are willing to sit out in the main dining room. So there might be, and I did have just one volunteer from our radio audience, Al Sharon. Thank you, Al. Al volunteered to sit in the main dining room. So if you absolutely want to go, come with me Saturday night. We'll go 6:30 down at Giuseppe's in Colorado Springs. Judy Brown will be speaking there. That'll be great. That'll be just absolutely great. But Friday night in Denver, it's pretty sold out. But if you think maybe they'll squeeze you in, you could call Colorado Right to Life, 303-753-9394. And let me tell you a secret. Now, I know Christy Burton has been doing a lot of radio interviews over the last couple days. She's been fabulous. And I happen to know that she's not tuned into this show right at this moment. So I'm going to tell you a secret. Please don't tell her. Friday night in Denver, we're going to give her a gift. Now, she's the 20-year-old law student who is the sponsor of the Human Life Amendment, went out, got counsel from Thomas More Law Center in Michigan, came up with the wording of the initiative. It's brilliant. A person is defined as a human from the moment of fertilization. That's it. So simple. And we're going to give her a gift at the dinner. Lord willing, here's the goal. We're going to give her 3,000 signatures. Now, I shouldn't say that because maybe we can't pull it off, and you don't want to discourage people. But that's the goal. So if you're going Friday night to the dinner at Cinzetti's, 104th and I-25, please bring all the signatures you have on petitions, and we'll have a notary there so you could get your petitions notarized. And if you're not going, please get your petitions to Colorado Right to Life or someone on the campaign, like Keith Mason or one of the officers of Colorado Right to Life. So please, if at all possible, or you could bring your signatures to Cinzetti's and drop them off, even if you can't go to the dinner. All right? Okay. And the last thing before we get to the main topic of the show is April 1st. 2 days ago, we were too busy to talk about it. We wanted to celebrate National Atheist Day on this program. National Atheist Day, April 1st. Every year, that's April Fool's Day. It's also National Atheist Day, since God's word says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And you know that atheists like to say there is no truth. So you could ask them, is that true? And they like to say there are no absolutes. And you could ask, absolutely? And they like to say only your five senses provide real knowledge. Only your five senses, like touch, taste, smell. And you could say, oh, which of the five tell you that? So there's so many ways to destroy the atheist worldview. Usually you can do it in under 8 seconds. an atheist says something, usually you can refute it in under 8 seconds. Like, there are no absolutes. That's what they claim. And so you say, absolutely? You just refuted their worldview. There's no such thing as absolute right and wrong. Is that absolutely right? Okay. Now, the movie Expelled, Ben Stein's brilliant movie, premiered last night. It was a sneak preview, actually, not a premiere. Sneak preview in Denver, Colorado. And the founder of the Collaborators Project, Will Duffy, was there. And so, Will, thanks for joining me in studio.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Great. Tell me about the movie. This is big, Expelled.
What can I say? Stunning. Stunning. It was beyond my expectations, and I had high expectations for the movie.
So this movie is designed to show that Darwinism, for one, the weakness of Darwinism to explain the origin of life, for example, but also the utter rejection of free speech and freedom of thought to people who don't toe the company line and promote Darwinism.
Yeah, the movie portrayed this idea that a wall has been built in America, and you're only free to think if you're on one side of the wall. And that's the evolutionary side of the wall. If you think about intelligent design, if you mention it and you're in some form of teaching, you are basically going to be expelled, hence the name of the movie.
So if you are at a university and you believe in intelligent design, you promote it, you say this didn't all happen by random mutations and natural selection, obviously there was a designer to our DNA, then you're going to lose your job?
Yes, lose your job, fired, done.
Yeah, lose tenure.
Lose tenure.
Somehow even tenured professors lose their jobs.
And this was example after example after example. This is not a one-time thing that just happened once.
Right. So
this is consistent.
And Ben Stein, he's hysterical. He is funny, isn't he?
He was great.
He's great, right?
He's brilliant, but he's also funny.
Yeah, he's funny. And the we'll put up on today's website a link to that movie online to their previews, and they're just great. They're absolutely tremendous.
Yeah, just to give you an idea about Ben Stein, he's got a brilliant mind, and in the whole movie he's got a suit on, but he's also got sneakers on.
He's wearing tennis shoes. So, yeah, he's real funny. So what are some of the – we don't want to give the movie away, but maybe a couple of the surprising things in the movie.
Yeah, you know, Bob, this movie was so good, I don't think I could ruin it for anyone. I cannot wait to see it again and again and again.
Wow.
The person, the VP of the production company who was heading up this sneak preview for the people here in Denver had seen the movie about 60 times already.
Right.
He has to view it with the people, and he was not tired of it after 60 times.
Wow.
He just couldn't wait for so many of the great things that are in the movie. One of the biggest shocks for me and one of the most excitements was Ben Stein tied what happened with Hitler and the Nazis, tied it in with Darwinian evolution.
Wait a minute. Ben Stein in this major movie, this major production.
Major.
Rolling out in hundreds of theaters the first week, April 18th, that weekend. And if it does well that weekend, it might end up in 1,000 or more theaters. So, what, 800 theaters the first opening weekend, right?
Yes.
And then they determine if it does well, then they will expand the number of theaters.
Yeah, we all have to go see it the first weekend.
Opening weekend. April 18th, 19th, 20th.
Yes.
Okay, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So we'll plan on doing that. In fact, we should pick a theater and announce a time for the BEL audience to go and have a great time. Okay, so you mean to tell me that Ben Stein did what we've been doing for 15 years on the air, and for us to do it, it's not a big deal because we're right-wing conservative Christian radio, but he's a major star, major star. He's been in all kinds of movies, comedian, financial advisor. Ben Stein connected evolution, Darwinism, to the Nazis and their slaughter of innocent people?
Yes, I was shocked. I don't think anything like this has ever been done. It was amazing.
Wow. I am startled. That's a good point.
And his honesty was great. He wasn't trying to say that anybody that believes in evolution is Hitler and is going to go do what Hitler did. He just showed what evolution can lead to and what it has led to in the past.
Wow. Okay, so that, of course, evolutionists are going to take a royal fit. I mean, they're going to take conniption fits. They're going to be throwing hissy fits the whole time this is in the theaters.
You know what? They already are. Mm. They already are on online blogs. And, you know, a funny story, Richard Dawkins.
The evolutionist.
Famous evolutionist, famous atheist, wrote The God Delusion.
Right. He hates God.
Hates God.
He doesn't believe in God, but he hates him nonetheless.
And he's in the movie quite a bit. He crashed one of the sneak previews. They're invite only.
Oh, my.
It was in Chicago.
Whoa.
And he crashed one of the parties with another atheist evolutionist that was in the movie.
Oh, my.
They kicked out the other guy. They let Richard Dawkins in to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was some deception involved in the interviews, which I am perfectly okay with.
Oh, yeah. When you get people who are the enemy, who say that human beings are just animals, in fact, we're insignificant, and these people promote a worldview that leads literally to genocide, the slaughter of millions of innocent children, and the hatred of different races who millions of people think are inferior because we've evolved from animals, and some people are just closer to animals than others. That's what their worldview leads to, the slaughter of millions of innocent people. So there was some deception used in the interview of Richard Dawkins.
Yeah, basically, all the people that were interviewed were paid very well to do these interviews. They all signed contracts that we can use whatever you say, however we want. And they were told that they were going to be doing a documentary with Ben Stein on science versus religion.
That sounds pretty accurate.
Yeah, very, very accurate.
So why did they say there was some deception?
Well, obviously they didn't know that this would be kind of that movie that brings out this wall that exists in America against intelligent design.
They're a bunch of sissies.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so anyway, so Richard Dawkins, he crashed one of the sneak previews.
Yeah, and they let him in and they let him watch the movie, and he had to have been shocked.
He had to have been shocked.
Mm. It was so great. One of the other biggest surprises for me was they started talking about eugenics, which is...
What, Dr. Jeannie? Eugenics Scott? Oh, no, Eugenie Scott. She's the gal I got to debate years ago. No, they were talking about eugenics.
Yes, eugenics, and that is basically trying to make this thoroughbred of people where everybody is strong and healthy and kill the weak and basically evolution.
Right.
And so they started talking about eugenics.
Breeding human beings.
And the connection between eugenics and what Hitler was doing. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I'm, you know, the president of the Collaborators Project. I do a lot in the pro-life ministry. And all I can think about when I hear eugenics is Margaret Sanger.
Margaret Sanger, founder, longtime president, and hero of Planned Parenthood, who hated minorities and hated the handicapped. Call them the blind, deaf, dumb, and mute. Are the dead weight of human waste, she wrote in Pivot of Civilization, her book.
Yeah, and Margaret Sanger is a famous eugenicist, and I couldn't believe it, but they tied eugenics with Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, in this movie.
In the movie?
Unbelievable.
Praise God. Ben Stein, what guts he has to go after the link between evolution, Darwinism, and the Nazis. And then to tie into Planned Parenthood's origins and their racism, of course, is one of the issues on the internet, one of the recurring news stories of the last few weeks, since people called Planned Parenthood's around the country and said they wanted to donate money to kill black children. And Planned Parenthood staffers, including some officials, said, oh, well, and we never heard that one before, but okay, how much do you want to give?
Yeah, Bob, it was a dream come true. It was an absolute dream come true to see a picture of Margaret Sanger, to see the words Planned Parenthood on the big screen, 20 feet wide,
wow,
talking about Hitler, the Nazis, eugenics, and Darwinian evolution.
Oh, my. Well, I'm getting chills up my spine here. So you got to see it last night. Being the founder of the Collaborators Project, you're a celebrity. This was for local celebrities,
I guess.
Yeah. Hey, you had to know somebody. Even Richard Dawkins was lucky he didn't get kicked out.
That's right.
In Chicago, but you were invited, and so you it was more than you expected.
It was way more than I expected. What was kind of interesting is that security was really high. Mm. Everybody was ID'd. You were not allowed to take anything into the theater, no purse, no cell phone, no pager, nothing.
Wow.
And basically, evolutionists across the country are so scared of this movie, they're trying to tape record it ahead of time and release it
right.
on the internet so that nobody will go see it and it'll just die and just kind of be a little blip in history.
Right, right, right.
But I think this one will stand the test of time. I think this will rock the world, this movie.
You do. Wow, that's quite a review. All right, so in the movie, we're going through the movie, and Ben Stein lays out this this regimen against someone who will dare to think that maybe God created us, maybe there was an intelligent designer, and there's complete hostility, no freedom of thought, freedom of expression, not even freedom of religion, for those people if they dare work, let's say, at the Smithsonian or at a university.
Yeah, the Smithsonian Institute was a major part in this movie. Mm-hmm. People had been fired from there, and they wouldn't return comments. But that's basically this general idea, is you are not free mm-hmm. to even talk, freedom of speech, if you do not align yourself with evolution.
Mm-hmm.
There is no freedom there. And you mentioned Eugenie Scott.
Yeah, yeah,
she
yeah.
played a pretty big part in the movie as
My
well.
Old nemesis.
Your old nemesis, who is supposedly one of the best defenders of evolution in the country.
What? Right, that's her full-time career. She's an anti-creationist. She's a PhD physical anthropologist. She goes around the country and the world, and she works to show that creationism is false and to make sure that only evolution is taught in schools.
Yeah, I'll tell a quick story here. I know that there is so much that could have been put into this movie, and there's no way they would have found it all. But I think one great thing they could have put in this movie is Bob Engyart, you.
Me.
Asking Eugenie Scott live on your TV show, what is your best evidence for evolution? What's the best evidence in the whole world for evolution?
Yeah.
And what was her answer?
Junk DNA. Junk DNA,
right.
Which 10 years later now, the headlines, even in the evolutionist science journals, is that junk DNA is not junk. Turns out every time they look at a piece of junk DNA, they find out that it's vital somehow for a healthy life. And the way they found that out originally is people have diseases, and they look to see where the mutations are that cause the disease, and it was in the junk. And they said, wait a minute, the junk, it doesn't matter what's in there, it's just junk. And they said, wow, if there is a mistake in the junk, you get a disease, the junk must not be junk. Just tremendous.
And that was your prediction. Your prediction was, do we know everything you can about DNA, or do we still have some things to learn?
I asked Eugenie Scott, do we, mankind, know most of what there is to know about DNA? And she said, yes, we do.
That's right.
And I said, Eugenie, come on, I'm going to give you a chance to take that back. You're a physical anthropologist. You're an expert against creation, and you are saying on this date and this time and this year that mankind knows most of what we'll ever learn about DNA. Come on, Eugenie. And I don't know if she put the Eugenie back in the bottle or not, but did she ever retract? I don't remember if she retracted that, but that was hysterical. I don't believe she did.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of fun watching this movie.
We sell that debate.
It was fun watching this movie because I was a little bit familiar with the characters, and that's what I was just going to say. You guys can purchase that debate, get familiar with Eugenie Scott. Then when you watch this, you'll understand where she's coming from, who she is.
Oh,
it
yeah.
just makes the movie so much more fun.
So it's a DVD, Bob Debates an Atheist, Bob Debates an Evolutionist, Dr. Eugenie Scott, and it's a one-hour show. It's a Bob Engyart Live TV show, and she was on by phone, telephone. By the end of the 1 hour, she said, well, I don't debate. It just so happened that 2 weeks earlier, she was on a national debate on PBS TV on creation evolution, and I don't know if she was feeling bad that night or what. But, yeah, I asked her actually repeatedly through the night to give me two or three pieces of her best evidence that evolution of higher functions actually occurred, like sight or hearing or echolocation, these kinds of functions, mobility. Give me two or three pieces of evidence. And she mocked me and Christians generally. She said, you Christians are always asking for evidence. And she said, that is a code word. You guys are just religious. You're against science. I said, Eugenie, what are you on? What are you talking about? Do they know that you're out, Eugenie? Are you off your meds? What are you talking about? So Eugenie Scott was in the movie?
Oh, yeah. She was in it maybe 2, 3, 4 times. And that show, that debate you had with Eugenie Scott, instant classic.
Hmm.
Great show. If you don't have it, definitely got to get it. Give us a call. But one other thing in the movie, it was interesting because Ben Stein didn't say much in the movie. He interviewed evolutionists,
mm-hmm.
and he interviewed people that believed in intelligent design. And he basically let them do the movie, whatever
right.
they said to his questions.
Right.
But what was great is throughout the movie, Ben Stein, when he was interviewing these evolutionists, he just had a simple question. How did it begin? That seems like a pretty great place to start.
Yeah, if evolution, our naturalistic worldview, atheism, all these experts have figured it all out, like the Big Bang. They figured it all out. They just want you to accept they figured it all out. So how did the Big Bang start? They don't know. What came first, stars or galaxies? They don't know. They admit they don't know what came first, stars or galaxies. So how could they have figured it all out when they don't know how galaxies formed? I mean, it's just bizarre. But anyway, so with biological evolution, they want us to believe they figured it all out. And it's like the emperor's new clothes. So Ben Stein is asking them, how did it begin?
And I didn't know how they would answer. When I ask people how it began, I usually hear the Big Bang. And these are the top evolutionists in the country, in the world,
mm-hmm.
being asked by Ben Stein while he's just interviewing them, asking them questions, how did it begin? And I might have forgotten something. I don't remember the answer to the Big Bang ever occurring once.
All right. They never answered the Big Bang. But and also about biological life, how did life begin? Was that specifically addressed? What would they have said about that?
Bob, when Ben Stein asked them, when did it all begin? When did life begin? The answer was a resounding, nobody knows.
Whoa.
And I think that's going to be a shock to the evolutionists. Hearing their heroes say, we don't know how it began. Now, there was one guy that had an answer. And his answer basically created huge laughter throughout the audience.
Oh, really? So he was an evolutionist, I guess.
He was an evolutionist, and Ben Stein asked him how it all began, and he said it all began on the back of a crystal.
Come on.
On the back of a crystal.
Come on.
So Ben Stein said, okay, so how did it begin? He said, I already told you.
All right. Well, he told him where it began, but how,
exactly.
But how
it was,
did it begin?
It was hilarious.
Yeah, that is hilarious. And, you know, some people believe in crystals and pyramids and magnetizing trees.
There was one other answer given to how it all began, and it was basically the alien theory that somebody shot a seed to the earth.
Yeah, now that's hysterical because why? Well, why would you say that's hysterical when evolutionists, they admit life is so complex it couldn't have evolved here on Earth. It must have come from aliens. I mean, the guy who's the co-discoverer of DNA, Francis Crick, that's his theory, I believe, if I recall that right, that life came from outer space, aliens, because it's too complex to start here. So why is that weird?
I think it's funny because they're basically admitting that it looks like there was a creator.
It looks like there's a creator, but then the natural question is, okay, if life is too complex to start on Earth, we've been here for 4.5 billion years, they say, then how did it start somewhere else if it's too complex? If it's too complex to start here, how they haven't solved the problem. All they've done is punt. They punted the problem.
Yeah, Ben Stein made the point that they say we're crazy because we believe a god started it. And then he mentioned, well, I guess the alternative is aliens and crystals.
That is really good. And so if life is too complex to start on Earth, it's too complex to start on Mars. It's too complex to start on Alpha Centauri, and you can't have life on Alpha Centauri, not biological life, because it would burn up. So, yeah, so they have this problem of they have no idea how it started. And with the complexity, did the movie, one of my favorite arguments is the complexity of life. Did Ben Stein's movie Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, did it get into that issue of the complexity of life for life to evolve by chance?
You bet. You bet. Ben Stein asked creationists and evolutionists, could Darwin have any idea of how complex a cell would be? Mm-hmm. And all their answer was, there's no way. There's no way he could have understood how complex a cell would be.
No, he published in 1859, Origin of the Species, and they did not have a clue. There was no molecular biology back then.
And Ben Stein was asking people if they thought a cell was a mud house, what would it be? What do we know the cell to be today? And basically the answer is a city.
Hmm.
That's how complex a cell is.
Yeah, wildly complex. And so did they do a good job of showing how complex the cell is? Like, that's why I love the DVD, Unlocking the Mysteries of Life. They show how complex it is.
Yeah, they did a pretty good job of showing how complex it is using a cartoon. And the cartoon was a game show, and the prize you could win, you know, the curtains open, the prize was a single-cell organism.
Mm.
And Richard Dawkins goes up, and he pulls down, like...
Yeah. He pulls down, like...
He pulls down the lever...
Right.
To get all...
Like a slot machine.
Like a slot machine to get them all in a row, and he gets four proteins in a row, and he starts jumping up and down, like
right.
He won.
Right.
And the game show host says, not so fast, and they pull the camera out, and he has to do that 250 more times.
250 times, get them all right.
For a single cell organism.
Right, right, right. And then you could do the same thing with the protein. Did you hear the name Richard von Sternberg in the movie?
Definitely.
With the Smithsonian.
Yes.
Well, he was on our trip we took this past summer up to Montana when we went fossil hunting, and we spent a couple days with Richard and his son. You recall we went up and looked into the soft tissue T-Rex issue in Montana. And I got to tell Richard about our debate with Eugenie Scott, in which she said about junk DNA was the best evidence for evolution. He cracked up. He cracked up. I told him we're going to take an ad out in her local newspaper, and he'd like to help us write the ad.
Eugenie Scott said that the creationists have used von Sternberg way too much. She said it's too old. We got to stop using him.
All right. Okay. We'll use him more. Thank you, Will Duffy. And Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, what a great school. 431-5653. Maranatha, and see you tomorrow night.
Hi, I'm Bob's brother, Brian. I moved my remodeling business, Fancy Schmancy Renovations, to Colorado. You can call me to improve the look and value of your home and support Bob Enyart Live at the same time. I have nearly 30 years' experience beautifying homes. So whether you're in the market for a new kitchen, a bathroom makeover, or maybe a new front door, you'll be pleased with the results and happy to know that all the proceeds will go directly toward keeping Bob on the air with the truth. Yes, I said... Well, wait a second. That's 5% of the proceeds. That's not... I said 5% of the proceeds, Bob, not all. Anyhow, so call for a free estimate to see if we can help you with your next home improvement project. And don't forget to mention that you heard about us on Bob Enyart Live. Call us, Fancy Schmancy Renovations, at 720-641-7033. That's 720-641-7033.